This conference will.
Could I ask one quick question about the Phytoburst?
Sure.
And reading about they're good for children and all, has anything been done to find out how they compare with the manna bears or the glycobears if somebody can't afford all three?
Sure.
Would they have everything to replace one of the others?
Yeah, the one that they would replace would be glycobears.
The glycobears.
Because they're aimed at vitamin mineral nutrients.
Okay.
They're not aimed at antioxidants, ambertose, and phytolo and phytonutrient. That's your manna. As I like share with people, this is how I look at it. From my opinion, the manna bear product has ambertose, antioxidants, phytonutrients. That's what's in that one. The glycobear is a vitamin mineral supplement, but it's not a phytomatrix. It's a lesser product than Phytomatrix because it wasn't built with 100% plant digested, 100% natural products. So glycobears, ever since Phytomatrix came out, Manatech's been working on trying to develop a Phytomatrix for kids, and the Phytoburst, that's what it was birthed out of. That's the whole reason for why Phytoburst came to existence. But it turned out to be such a terrific product, we're not marketing it per se as a children's product because adults take it every day. I don't know how many of you guys do it, but I love them. So it's become an adult product as well. But if you were going to utilize Phytoburst instead of one of the other two children's products, the one you'd swap out would be the glycobears. Okay?
And Mary Jo, at what age or weight or whatever do you start recommending that the children leave the children's products, the glycobears, et cetera, for the Phytomatrix?
I would do the Phytomatrix probably around 7 or 8, something like that, as early as possible. And the manna bears, I think manna bears are a very expensive way of getting the ambertose and antioxidant in that child. So I probably recommend around 4 or 5 is to start shifting them to ambertose capsules or powder and phytolo powder and using one AO a day. So that's just my approach to it. But, a lot of parents use manna bears there, forever. In fact, a lot of us probably still eat some manna bears here and there, too, because they're so delicious. And it's great as a snack. But if it's going to be your source of ambertose and AO, I'm going to highly suggest that you start moving that child into the adult products around 5, the AO, one AO a day, and the ambertose powder. Yeah. You're going to get more bang for your buck, too, because if you look at the quantity of the products in the manna bears, you're paying a lot just for the manna bears, the cutesiness of it and all that stuff. The best way to take ambertose is always going to be to buy bulk. And get that in. And I think, I don't remember what the stat is. I think it's something like it takes 12 manna bears to get a quarter teaspoon. I don't know for a fact. Don't quote me on that. I can give you the comparables. I'll dig that out and I'll send an email out to all you guys so you know what it is. But it's pretty surprising how little ambertose is really in the manna bears. It's not a big quantity. So, but for a 1-year-old or 2-year-old, 4 manna bears a day, that's probably okay. But, 5-year-old, not in my book. Yeah. And again, if there's a health challenge involved, go back to the tub of ambertose. Okay?
Okay.
Hopefully.
Thanks.
You bet. All right. So let's jump in. Let me tell you what I picked as a topic today because I read a great article in Network Marketing Times and a gal, Colleen Barrett. I don't know how many of you know her or have heard of her.
This conference will.
All right. Great. Let me just make sure the mute. There we go. Okay. So let me just give you some background on this. I went to a servant leadership workshop about, 3 years ago, and it was just so awesome. And I met Colleen Barrett. At the time, she was president of Southwest Airlines. And she's just an incredible woman and incredible heart for people and passion. And they had an article in the Network Marketing Times written up all about Colleen Barrett. And, of course, today she's no longer president. They call her president emeritus. In other words, she's ex-president. But if you know anything about her background, just to give you some idea where she came from, and some of you know the Southwest story and some don't. We're going to talk a little bit about it today. But Southwest Airlines was started by a group of guys. There was a lot of infighting that happened, and the winner came out, Herb Kelleher. And Herb Kelleher was a lawyer. and he really just wanted a lawyer. This is just an idea of that they all had together is to do a discount airline. And so Herb ended up taking over it, and Colleen was his secretary, legal assistant. So, you know, it's just a great story about how somebody in that realm from the 1960s can end up as president of one of the best airlines. In fact, I think it is the best airlines in the United States today, Southwest Airlines. So she has quite a story. She doesn't have any degree. She's not an MBA. She didn't go back to get to be an MBA. Let me just hang on a second. Lydia, the clicking is continuing. I continue to get... Okay, I hit star 2 twice. I don't hear it. We're trying to clean up the... I don't know what's causing it, you know. Someday I'll get some service that will work. No, it's not saying recording and it's clicking constantly. Said nothing.
Mary Jo, we don't hear.
This conference will.
Okay, great. Let's get back on. Sorry, people. Little issues around that. So anyway, so Colleen's got this incredible background of, you know, for a CEO of a major multi-million-dollar company, it's amazing, or multi-billion-dollar company. And she just has a great track, but she has a great heart. And today, Southwest Airlines, for the last, I don't know, since its beginning time, I guess they set up their own culture, but they really have focused on servant leadership. And that's their whole philosophy about their whole organization. So because the story is so fascinating, I wanted to tie it into the similarities between Southwest Airlines and who we are at Manatech, and just kind of give you some insight into that and the connectiveness, and maybe give you a little bit of drive of how we can operate as human beings and as a company to just be in a better place and build a better culture. And all of us have talked about our culture at Manatech for years, and one of the things we had problems with over the last, you know, 5 years or 4 years is what's going on with our culture, because if there was one thing that always tied us together and continues to tie us together in Manatech, it's the fact that we have this passion and we have this mission, and we all are on board with this in such a significant way that it drives us. It's our heart is captivated by this company. The story of how this company was birthed, Sam Castor, his family, just a, you know, man of relief. There's just so much that just it builds in us in terms of why we're a part of this, and makes it such a meaningful experience for each and every one of us. And that's our culture. So let's look at and just kind of look at what Colleen has to say and how it might apply to us, and do some, you know, some introspection on that, because I think it's going to help us all understand, you know, the meaning of why we're a part of this, and this is a very viable corporate philosophy to have. So when we look at Colleen and what she had to say in the article in her interview, she talked about who she is, you know, who is Southwest Airlines, and sometimes people ask her if it's an airline, and she goes, no, we're first and foremost, we're a customer service company. And that's their overall philosophy. It's like always talking about how are you serving your customers. And I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves, too, when we look at our business in Manatech, how are we serving our customers? And when Southwest looks at customers, they don't look at customers as being the people that just fly on their planes. That's a paradigm, and that's a, you know, a thought process that we might be stuck in, thinking about the people that are paying for our services. But that's not how they look at customers. How they look at customers is they look at customers as as who's a customer inside the business. I mean, when you're trying to do something for the accounting department becomes your customer because we're interacting with people all the time. When I go over and work with Manatech on the you know comp plan changes or the incentive or I'm you know how to incorporate Clemmer stuff those kind of things, they become my customer. So it's always about looking at every relationship as a kind of a customer relationship, and that's how Colleen describes the whole philosophy and how they operate at Southwest Air. So they work consistently that way and treating everybody as if they're a customer. So that just allows us to take on an attitude that is more a servant's heart, that you're constantly in service to people instead of what can you do for me lately, you know? Totally different attitude. She also mentioned that they're always real. They're very authentic. So people can come into their environment and people that they hire, they just are looking for people that have an authentic approach. And we've talked about authenticity so many times in Manatech and in our trainings. When you talk about Michael Oliver and he talks about the natural selling approach, what is he talking about? I mean, the natural selling, when he says natural, what does it mean? It means come from authenticity, be real. And the whole word real, and he says, we are real. What is our new, what is Manatech's new branding, right? Live for real. And that's one of the things this outside guy, Jeff Swain, said about Manatech when he did, you know, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months of research on this company, that the one thing he found is that we're real. We have real people, real results, real passion, real, I mean, you know, that was a uniqueness to him. And that's to me, when he mentioned that and was on stage down in Hawaii and talked about how Manatech is so real, you know, that should be our branding that we use, it made me very proud of who we are because, you know, he doesn't, when people come up with those words from outside industries, when they come and evaluate us, that means they're not finding that to be true everywhere they go. And as much as I would love to believe that could be possible, it's not. So to be a part of something that is so real, it's so authentic, is just a great thing. So we are real, that phrase, as Colleen used it about Southwest, that's about who we are. We are authentic. That's all about our approaches and how we keep fighting to be authentic as we talk to people and share with people. It's just coming from our own heart and sharing that way. She went further to talk about how they empower the people to break their rules. And I just had that happen this weekend on Southwest Airlines. One of my people was up here with me, and she had to go down back home for an emergency. And Southwest, their rule is, I mean, if you have to change your flight, you have to pay a price, right? I mean, if you did this on American Airlines, you'd pay that price no matter what, and the price is huge. And they don't care. They don't care what the excuse or anything. But, you know, she shared with them why she had to do it. And they made a decision to not charge her one dime. I mean, it was a beautiful thing, but that's the concept that Southwest lives on, because if you're always about servant leadership and serving others and, you know, supporting others to be the best and get the best results, why would you be charging somebody when they've already gone through a horrific experience around something that causes them to have to leave town earlier, move, you know, get an earlier flight? They just don't do it. They put themselves in your shoes, and so they say, how should we treat this? So the people at Southwest are really empowered to do that, and the management gives the employees a lot of empowerment around that, so they don't require them to go through 7 steps of analysis and get 6 supervisors involved to make those kind of decisions. They're just, and it's a neat thing. And so we need to look at that, and when I started applying that to Manatech, I said, don't read into this call, people, that I'm telling you to break all those federal rules and the DJ Act and run afoul of the Texas AG case. I'm not suggesting that. However, I am suggesting that sometimes we can bend over backwards and do things a little different, and we can call up Manatech and we can maybe get them to bend the rules a little bit to help support the consumers that we have and the customers that we have. So come from a world of possibility, not probability. And that also means the same thing about getting people to manifest. Come from possibility, not probability. You heard Kathy Martz today. Yes, it's possible to get brand new people there, and it's possible to get a bunch of their friends with them. so come from what? Come from possibility, not probability. Live your life that way, and you'll see a dramatic shift in the results that you create. So so that's the part of the basic concepts that exist at Southwest about being real, authentic, and empowering their people. They also stay away from enabling their people. And that's an important principle for us to learn, that we don't enable people. When you bring brand new people on board, as you bring on a brand new associate, some of the things that we do is we need to train them and teach them. And that's clearly part of our process. And show them the way. Kind of like under the MAP plan, where they talk about, you know, you teach, you show, and when you're training them, and then they do it themselves. So, but we have a tendency in Manitoba, as I've seen so often with people, that we tend to be very much enablers. It keeps us busy as we do our work instead of keeping us efficient and productive. We need to start empowering our associates to be better. So we need to, and the best way I tell people on how to shift from enabling to empowering is just get out of the answers. So many times our egos get in the way because we have the answers to all the questions, or we think we do, when really the answer is within the person that's asking. We just need to help them find it. Because once you empower them to find it, then guess what? You've taught them how to fish. And they will start fishing on their own, so it's incredibly empowering. And you don't ever want to suggest to people that they're incapable, and I think that's a big part of what we do a lot, is by stretching out and reaching out our hands so often, people and always trying to be the answer for them and the top dog, we tend to, you know, treat people like they're incapable. So quit enabling and encourage people to be who they are. At Southwest, they always tell people, take that whatever your strength is, whatever you are good at, we want you to be able to share that with other people. Because share your strengths and but always maintain a professional life, but be able to share your strengths. So how does that apply? When you looked at Southwest, I don't know how many of you have flown Southwest, but you know you see it on every flight. Because it's really cute how every flight, the guy who takes care of the, you know, overhead speaker up front, whether he's, you know, if he's got a sense of humor, they, you know, you hear about it. Like, you know, for instance, they'll go, you know, on the PA announcement, they say, we'd like to welcome you all to Jamaica, but we can't because we're landing in Hartford. Okay, but something like that. I mean, they'll just and bring so much joy to you because, you know, you're just like in shock when you hear, we'd like to welcome you to Jamaica. You know, when you think you're going to Hartford, Connecticut or something, you know, it's hilarious. But they have so many jokes. Some guy did some of the, you know, some hard rock stuff. One guy was an opera singer. I mean, I've heard so much stuff. It's just someone did some jive music, you know, jive stuff. And it's just been hilarious every single time. And you know what's so neat? They found that people listen to that. They get a much better response because people will listen to something different rather than that same old monotone announcements that occur on an airplane. I mean, I've kind of become numb to the monotone ones because I hear them all the time because I fly so much. But it's just a beautiful thing. So what they're doing is they're allowing their people to stretch themselves and do what their talent is and expose that talent to the customer base as long as they maintain a sense of professionalism about it. They live by the golden rule in the company, and it's a big part of who they are. They do unto others as they would have done to you. If we kept that in mind every time we dealt with somebody at Manitech or we dealt with some of our associates or we dealt with other people, I mean, it's just a huge, that golden rule can really operate in such an incredible way, and we just need to focus on how is that not applying in our life. And sometimes when we look at it, I know sometimes in the past I've looked at it and said, oh, Mary Jo, you know, the golden rule, everybody knows that. But we know it, but are we living by it? That's the big question. Do we live by the golden rule? And that's so much of what Southwest projects out there, and I think it would really serve all of us if we started looking at our lives and how are we operating with our interactions with Manitech, with our interactions with other associates, in our downline, with our crossline, with our upline. Are we really living the golden rule every day? And just keep that in mind of what that would look like if it really happened. And maybe sometimes we need to put those things in front of us to keep the awareness. She says in her that when they do interviewing processes and working with hiring new employees, sometimes they don't get it right, but they're always looking for the same people that fit this mold. They're not looking for people that are too serious or too directed in the, you know, ego-wise and all that. They're looking for people that really love other people, that love to work with other people and want to share and contribute and pour into people. And sometimes she says we make mistakes, but they don't last very long because they don't fit in the culture. And we see that sometimes happen in Manatech as well, that sometimes people get hired, get into the culture of Manatech, and they don't last very long because maybe all they're in it for is money, you know, and that's all they care about is money. Well, I don't know that that's a cultural fit when you're looking at a business like what we have with Manatech. It's just because they're going to get accosted by those of us that just want to love on them all the time, and they're going to be frustrated because they might be too serious. And that doesn't mean we can't run an incredible business, just like Southwest Airlines runs an incredible business. It's very profitable. But they know they can balance the two. They know they can do the business and yet come with an incredible servant's heart and care about others and put others first in many instances. So they're looking through three attributes they want everybody to exhibit every day, which is, number one, a warrior spirit. And that just means come with a lot of fight. You know, we're going to make things happen no matter what. And she didn't talk about it in this article, but I heard her talk about the story about 9/11 and what they did to make sure all their people got home. Because remember what happened with 9/11, some of us only, you know, it sometimes feels like it was just yesterday, sometimes it feels like it was 20 years ago, if you're looking at the wars we've been involved in and the costs we've paid for those. But the 9/11 experience, in and of itself, if you remember the day, what happened to all the airlines? They stopped flying, right? Mm-hmm. They grounded everyone. So people were stranded everywhere, not just people, but Southwest Airlines had a lot of their employees grounded in all different kinds of cities. And they bent over backwards. What they did to figure it out and get everybody, including customers, back and their own, because what did they treat their employees that were stranded? As customers. How do we best solve this problem? And it cost them a lot of money, a lot of energy, but, you know, those people were coming to work, like working 18-hour shifts at Southwest Airlines and 20-hour shifts just to solve the problem. But it was because they felt like they were one. They were all one. And that's what happens when you start getting this servant attitude. You're gonna be that way. And that warrior attitude about nothing's going to stop us. And truly that's part of who they are, and I think it's very much a part of who we are. It's a warrior spirit that nothing is going to stop us. The only one that's going to stop us is we're going to stop ourselves. So we need to just exhibit that warrior attitude and warrior spirit. Servant's heart is always there, as we know. A servant's heart is just about, again, what can I do for other people? And that's the whole play off of, you know, the Michael Oliver approach, MJ Durkin approach, is how do we serve people? The only way you can serve people is by finding out what their needs are. We don't tell them what they need, although some of us tend to do that, but it's not really going to work real well for you. The idea is we try to find out what their needs are, and then we support them in their needs. And that's what they want you to be. They want you to be sensitive to their needs, not to somebody across the aisle, somebody over there, and somebody else, and not be treated as a herd of elephants. Each human being is unique in their own posture, and how do we best serve them? That's the approach we need to take. So the idea is that we want to have this incredible servant's heart to serve people and to treat them as human beings. Again, the golden rule. And in order to be best servicing them, it's find out what their needs are and then support them in those needs. And then the third attribute is fun-loving attitude. And there's no question that Southwest Airlines has a fun-loving attitude. If you've ever been on their flights, you know that. And it's a brilliant way because you want to have fun. And I work with people all the time that get anxious or get, you know, troubled by things, get stuck in life, because doesn't life throw a lot of stuff at you? It's going to throw a lot of stuff at you. Last week I went through something frustrating in another business, and it's tough because you have curveballs that hit you and blindside you, and you just feel like sometimes you get discouraged by it. But you got to keep the perspective. It's just a day. It's just a transaction. It's just a this. It's just a that. And we just let little things that look so big to us to take us down and grab onto us. But that's the where the fun-loving attitude has to come in. Life is fun. Have joy. Bring joy every day in your life and bring joy to other people and watch the results. And that's the, again, Southwest attitude, and I believe it's where we need to be as a company and as associates, that we truly bring a fun-loving attitude to everything we do. Getting through the tough times, that has a great correlation to us, too, because what have we gone through in the last few years with Manitowoc? A lot of tough times. I mean, you know, a lot of us have experienced loss in associates and GV and all sorts of things, the confusion about what we can say and can't say. And all, by the way, that's another great reason to be at Manifest, is they're going to have tremendous trainings on compliant testimonials. And we're going to start doing all those again, giving our testimonials, and how exciting is that? So we have this, you know, tough times that we've gone through, and Southwest went through some tough times. If you know, again, getting back to the history that they had when they first started up, which was about, I think they've been around for 38 years now. I remember their 10-year anniversary. Isn't that crazy? They focused on customer service, but that in those first, you know, as they were starting to try to get off the ground, they had tremendous problems with their, you know, ability to get an airline started. And one of the greatest problems that they had is they had all these big bad guys, you know, that is like the story of David and Goliath. When you're starting a new airline company in the backyard of American Airlines, you can imagine. I mean, every step of the way, the big airlines are trying to close them down and shut them off, and quash their ability to get off the ground and running, and it was just a constant battle. And a lot of you probably have seen other airlines, small little regional airlines that have started up around your area. They start up and they are no longer in business. You see, you know, a year later, 3 years later, you may not even hear about them anymore because they go out of business. It's not an easy thing to do because the competition is so fierce. And as you well know, the big guys can always, you know, put a squeeze on the little guys. But the little guys really have an advantage if they do it right. And you know, Colleen's comment about the adversity was, she said, she laughs about it today because if those big bad guys had left them alone, they probably would never have stayed in business. Isn't that incredible? She said it was the adversity. The more they fought Southwest Airlines and their ability to get off the ground and running, the more Southwest Airlines became a cause. And I love that statement because I look at Manitowoc today and I say, the more adversity we have, those of us and those people that are on board with us today that are sticking to it, we get it that this is a cause. This is a mission. This isn't about us. This is about something so much greater than who we are. It is truly a huge mission that we're a part of. And that's what Southwest Airlines did as a young company, too. They made it a mission. They made it a cause, and that's what allowed them to survive. Without that adversity, it wouldn't have become a cause. It wouldn't become a mission. And she really believes that the company probably wouldn't have had a chance to stay alive. But the adversity just caught, and I think part of it probably is the competition, too, the competitive nature of human beings, that when we get somebody fighting against us all the time, some of us may just lay down and die. But the majority, the average American, we, you know, what we have inside of us is something that we're going to survive no matter what. And I sometimes felt that instinct in me throughout the last few years of fighting, you know, all the stuff that was going on. And it's just a wonderful thing to be a part of the process. It maybe wasn't really exciting as we went through it, but today I look back and I go, wow, what a terrific process to withstand all that and come out smiling and ecstatic on the other side. And looking at the discouragement that occurred and yet understanding that I am part of a bigger mission than me. And, that, you know, we are a cause. And, so it builds you. It builds character. It builds you. It builds the people around you. It's an outstanding way to live your life, because one thing I know for sure, we're going to have adversity strike us in other ways as we go along, just because that's life. It's called life. She talked about the quote was given out of what Mary Kay, if you're familiar with Mary Kay makeup products, said, the bumblebee can fly only because it doesn't know it can't. And I think that applies to a lot of us in Manitowoc as well. We can look at ourselves and say, hey, we fly only because no one's told me I can't do it. And, you know, I move forward in network marketing, and I move forward in Manitowoc, and I move forward with sharing these things. No one's ever told me I can't do it. In fact, every step of the way, I've always been reinforced that I can't. And it's just about taking the action and making it happen. Because it's again, coming from possibility, not necessarily probability, because the whole concept about the bumblebee, if you know the structure of a bumblebee and all the things about it, it seems totally improbable or impossible that it could ever fly. But you know what? No one told the bumblebee that it couldn't fly. So as long as it's not got that discouragement, you know what? It's going to fly. And that's how we need to look at our lives. We need to say, hey, you know, just no one's told me I can't do this. They only reinforce that I can. So the concept for us to learn from that bumblebee story, too, is that we consistently support people in I can. And it's funny because that whole program I started, for some of you remember a couple of years ago, the ICANN program and the starfish, which is a wonderful story. And if you just look back at those times and think about, you know, it's a wonderful story. It's about what can we do? What is it that we can do? Don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can do. Let's work from that possibility. So it's, again, coming from possibility, not probability, and moving forward. And the last thing I put in the outline today around the Southwest story was the mission statement that they stated. And their mission statement, and you can read it yourself, it's in the outline, but it says, the mission of Southwest Airlines is dedication to the highest quality of customer service, delivered with a sense of warmth, friendliness, individual pride, and company spirit. We are committed to provide our employees a stable work environment with equal opportunity for learning and personal growth. Creativity and innovation are encouraged for improving the effectiveness of Southwest Airlines. Above all, employees will be provided the same concern, respect, and caring attitude within the organization that they are expected to share externally with every Southwest customer. Isn't that cool? I think it's a great mission statement. It's just it's got so many concepts developed in there about servant leadership and you know, the concept of individual attributes and fun-loving and just a positive attitude. So I challenge you guys to take that mission statement and kind of look at it and say, so what is yours? What's your mission statement? And the important thing for all of us is to take on a mission statement in our life. What is our mission? What is your direction? What is your mission? Sitting down and working on, you know, the goals helped you start in a direction. But a mission statement is something far greater than just your goals. Your goals are a direction in terms of, because there are specific results. And you can see in the mission statement that it's not really in alignment with a specific result. It's more of a general overall attitude and beingness that's promoted through a mission statement. And so you can start looking at that for yourself, about what is your mission or a purpose statement. And that's a neat thing to work on. So I just let you know that that's another thing you can start peeking on. I did a training on mission statements. I don't think it's on the Anna train. I think I did it as one of those special trainings. But it's a great exercise to go through. If you haven't done it, think about doing it, looking at your life and putting together something that really reflects who you are and what your beingness is and what it is about you that takes you and puts you in that category of what your legacy is. And who you want to reflect your beingness is as you walk this earth, as you involve yourself in Manifest, as you show up at Manifest. Who is that person and what is that beingness that you portray? Okay, people, that's all I had for today. Anyone else have anything that they want to close on, anything they want to contribute? Nope, we have no other comments, questions, or anything. All right, well, I love you guys. Thank you so much for being on the call today. And don't forget, next week we're going to do our book review, which is The Soul of Money. And if you have an opportunity to get it, you can, you know, get it and read it or page through it or get a review of it somewhere. But we will review that from start to finish on next Monday's call. So love you all. Don't forget, work hard on Manifest. Oh, one more thing. This is the last week of a business period. I forgot to mention that. I'm sorry. But don't forget to get as much as you can get done by Friday and make sure you meet all those leadership levels and everything else as a close of a business period. And the other thing is, go ahead.
I have one quick comment. Could you incorporate in the future calls, like at the beginning, when you were telling us about the difference in the manna bears and the glyco bears and the phytoburst or whatever, a little tidbit on the best way for us to utilize these products?
Best way? Well, I could talk about that, but you know, when I talk about that, it's always going to be Mary Jo's opinion. Because everybody,
exactly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so funny because everybody, you could have heard what I said, and as I told you about the glycobears and mannabase, that's why I always premise it on, this is how I view it, this is my opinion, because everybody in Manatech, if you ask 10 different presidentials, you'd probably get at least 8 different responses. You know, some
but
of them would
agree.
Possibilities of how to use them. So just maybe on a weekly basis, you'd like to hear some kind of product usage or product concept.
Yeah.
Is that what you'd like? You'd enjoy that?
Yeah, that would be super.
Yeah. We could, that's a good suggestion. Let me pass that by and we'll think about that and maybe we'll put that in place. I think that's a good suggestion. Great. Thanks.
Thanks.
You
mm-hmm.
bet. All right. Well, great.
There
you
go. Hi, this is Joni. You mentioned that reactivation for Phytoburst letter.
Uh-huh.
It's
attached to the, it was attached to the last outline last week. I did a whole Monday call on reactivation, Joni. And if you go and
I wasn't on it because my computer's infected.
Oh, no. Well, you missed a great one because we had 3 other presidentials on there with me and we did share.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the replay.
Yeah, so replay that one and then print off the attachments and you'll get a copy of the letter there. I just changed it for my purposes and then because I, you know, re-edited it and put some other things in it and we had to do it from scratch because she gave us a file that we couldn't, it's a publisher file. So you're going to have to retype it, but you can draft it for your own purposes and then and send it out. It's great. It's a great way to reactivate with Phytoburst, okay?
Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet.
Mary Jo, I have a quick question.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm curious to know, do they have to have 100 points on their auto order in order for it to be a point for us to reactivate them?
Yes, they do. It has to be at least 100 point, APO, yeah. Right.
Okay, so they are buying what, 2 Phytoburst?
I'm sorry, not 100 APO, 100 whatever it is, GP, that's actual payout. It's got to be 100 GPV, yeah. What's your question?
I knew what you meant. So they would order like 2 Phytoburst and like the omega-3s or something.
Yeah, something like that, right? That would add up to 100. You got to get it to 100. You can't, if it's less than 100, it won't qualify. So that's a minimum requirement, yep.
Perfect. Thank you.
You bet. Anyone else? Any other questions? Gosh, we ended a little early today, so we had some time for questions. Great. All right, you guys. Well, have a great week. Go after it. Don't forget, work on that reactivation. Collect all those free points for the trip because there's nothing like getting 45, 50 points just by not doing a lot of, you know, outside necessarily marketing to new people, and then we can get the rest of the points during the next 5 months because we haven't even started the incentive program yet, but we're collecting points. And that's a beautiful thing. All right. Love you guys, and have a great
Mary
week.
Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Mary Jo. Hi.
Uh-huh.
This is Mary Jo in St. Louis. I just want to say this was really a great call in regard to the analogy and comparing a 15-year-old company of Manatech to a 38-year-old company like Southwest who went through the similar trials and tribulations that we're going through, and it gives us, you know, extreme wonderful hope that we can achieve the same things that Southwest has in the eyes of the country. So
yeah.
I just want to thank you for opening that window of opportunity up.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, I think there's a great comparison between the two companies, and that's what struck me because it's kind of a unique call. I usually talk about self-development or something, but that was it hit me right. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you,
yep.
Mary Jo. I had one little question too about the incentive coming up. Are we going to be getting points after the official start? Will we continue to get points for reactivations?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Those are the reactivation points. So if you happen not to get everybody you wanted to get reactivated by Friday, you know, because the next month, next Saturday starts the incentive program. Okay. Everybody got that. Because it starts a business, because that starts, isn't it business period? Is it? This is the last week of a business period, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, right. So next Saturday starts the incentive program. But if you reactivate somebody next Saturday or next, you know, Sunday or Monday or any time, you're going to get points for that as well. The points don't change on reactivation pre-incentive versus the five-month incentive period, okay? They stay the same. We're just going to be able to accumulate more points because we're going to get sign-up points and all the other kind of stuff that comes out in addition to the reactivation points.
So we should hear something on Saturday how the whole thing...
I promise you, I thought we were going to hear it about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, but I do want to tell you to be sensitive about that because they really have to do a lot of work to make sure they can print off all the success tracker forms and keep track of points properly. And it's not going to be, I just know that it's not going to be because I participated in the process this time. They did ask me to come in and kind of debug the program so people couldn't manipulate as much as they normally do. So I helped them with that, and that was a joy to be able to be a part of that process. So it's not going to be as, it's not going to be all that power bonus. It's going to be a lot simpler process for you on this one. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. I think it's great. I think it's straightforward, and I think you'll all look at it as being simple and clean and clear on how to win it, okay? And we'll, and you know me, I'm going to still teach you how to win it no matter what it is, okay?
Through June, would it be like the next five business periods, so it'd be through June again?
Uh-huh, absolutely. It's going to be business period 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All right, thank you so much.
You betcha. All right.
Mary Jo, one more question in regard to the power bonus you mentioned. What is the chance that they're going to reverse that policy about achieving the power bonus? It used to be prior to Wayne Bottavenas that it didn't matter how long it took you. It was like accruing, ongoing, but then he changed it to you had to have You could not break your 100 PPV, your personal point volumes, and now that's where it's at. You break your 100 point PPV, then you lose everything.
Okay.
Is that going to be reversed?
No. So what you're talking about, it's not that let's get a clarity because I think the question needs to be clear. The question isn't about that you can earn a power bonus. You can take 2 years to earn a power bonus. That's still in place. It can take you 10 years to earn a power bonus, and you'll still earn your power bonus. But the requirement to order to capture the power bonus points that you're accumulating, that you have to maintain 100 automatic order, okay, otherwise you lose your points accumulated, that will not be discontinued, okay? That's going to be in place. Because they're just saying, if you're in it to earn a power bonus and you're in it to do the business, then you've got to maintain an active automatic order. And they're not. I don't see them ever changing that. I don't think it's a Wayne Bottavenas issue. I think it's just an issue of, hey, part of the dollars and cents that they award you on getting the power bonus is based on, them being able to make enough income off of monthly automatic orders over a period of time to be able to support those payouts. People were, they're acting like a subterfuge to make that happen. They'd stop and start, and then they'd only have the power. They'd only put an automatic order in a month that they signed somebody up. I mean, they played a game with it, and it's not about a game. We're trying to keep this company alive and healthy financially, so. The reality is, I can tell you from my perspective, I agree with that. I mean, I think it's uncomfortable. It caused us to do a little different change in strategy. But the reality is it makes sense from a business perspective that people who are going after earning their power bonus shouldn't be playing around with their automatic order just because they might be buying all-star packs and using those as their products that they consume for a period of 3 or 4 months and then come back and buy another one, because you could earn a power bonus that way and you never could be on automatic order at all. There are too many gimmicks, and they're just trying to quash some of the gimmicks out there. So I don't discredit them for that. It might cause you guys an inconvenience on strategy, but to me it makes more sense from a business perspective. Okay? You can say,
okay,
Mary Jo, you can say, I don't agree with you, Mary Jo, and that's your prerogative. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you my perspective on it. Maybe that'll open your eyes to, what it really is about. Okay?
Well, in response, in response, I do understand what you're saying, but I guess some people early on may have a bad month where, you know, a bunch of bills are due, and maybe one month they can't. So I don't know, maybe there could be some exception to, you know, okay, 1 or 2 months. Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. That would be a nightmare of accounting. So, okay.
Yeah, and that's what I think with your way, it would be a very hard thing for them to try to keep on top of. You know, it's a real tough thing for them to keep on top of.
Okay. So, Mary Jo, could I make a recommendation that I did not remember seeing that come out to inform us when they made that change? And so I had somebody in my downline that I did not catch it because I didn't remember seeing when they changed that rule, and it kept her from getting her power bonus. And so I would like to say that I would like for Manatech to, when they have a important change like that, that we get that notification so that we know the rule changed.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, you know, I can be sensitive to that, but I do think that there is massive communication. I mean, it was back in August and July and August when they made all those changes. It came out, and you know, they sent out emails about it. People like Mary Jo trained on it. I put it on. It was in my Monday calls. So I think there was plenty of opportunity for people to learn it. I think sometimes we don't. They give us sometimes so much information that maybe the better statement for you is. From you might be like, let's make a recommendation to Manatech when it's something that critical that they have a separate call. And they did have separate calls on the changes. They even had associate calls, leadership calls on the changes. But maybe they pinpoint something that crucial. Maybe there's a special flyer or something that we pay attention to. Because I think that sometimes they give us so much that we don't pay attention to everything and read all the details.
Well, I really thought that I prided myself on trying to keep up. I tried to listen to your calls on Monday, but apparently something happened that I missed out all the way around because I just really don't remember seeing anything.
Got it. No, it was pretty well blasted. I mean, it was, all throughout August of last year, it was consistently done, and I remember sending warnings out and talking about Monday call as well to make sure everybody understood. In fact, people even ask questions, oh, Mary Jo, what about this month? And I said, no, it doesn't apply to August. It starts in September. You know, and now if you want to preserve all those power bonus points that you've earned, you've got to have an automatic order of at least 100 in your name. Otherwise, they disappear. And, yeah, it's a sad thing because people could be caught by surprise. But the understanding is this, that going forward, if you're building your business and you want to help people build power bonuses or build their own businesses, that first and foremost, what do you need to get them on? Automatic monthly order. You know, that auto order is just absolutely crucial. It's crucial for them in taking the products, and it's crucial in them for doing the business as well. So it's really part and parcel of what the business is about. So, but thanks for
registering
your concerns. Yeah. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
This is Jeff Urban, Tulsa. Thanks for your call today.
Hey, Jeff.
I just want to know real quick, is there any way we can tell of accrued points thus far, or is that going to wait until it actually starts up?
Oh, are you talking about for the incentive purposes?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way you can tell, only by your own self-accumulation, because they don't have they don't have anything reporting yet on their success tracker. But they will have that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why it's being held up for even the announcement. My suspicion is that'll be out probably by by the first or second week of next business period. Yeah.
Okay, and just one more thought in view of everything talking about these power bonuses. You know, the transition time when they had the 3-month look back, that was the time to grab that power bonus because it was worth a whole lot more money. And by then, you know, I know in my own business, we worked super, super hard to get everybody their power bonuses that had been around for a while and had accumulated a lot of points. And then later on, they changed that policy. You'd lose them if you didn't have 100 qualifying. And I had a person that missed it too. But it wasn't because information wasn't available. It's just people didn't get it. Or I don't know what happened. There was so much information about that. I sent out warnings like, beware, you know, this is going to happen. And it happened, and some people got caught.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for every one of them that did. But, you know, you're still just six all-stars away from a power bonus if you're starting from scratch, so you just keep on going.
Yeah, you just start, right, exactly. It's not like it disappeared. It's just your accumulated points disappeared, and if you really want to do it as a business and earn it, you can start over again and get on ground and run. But, Jeff, you're right about that, too, because, you know, last year when they gave us that grace period at the beginning of the year to earn $1,000 power, I mean, you know, by just buying the $4.99 packs, we didn't have to buy the $1,000 packs. My gosh, how many people did you contact in your downline back there in February, March, April, May, and all those months to make sure they earned the big chunky power bonus? I mean, I probably got, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 people in my downline during their power bonus during that time. So you're right. That really highlighted it. And then so the change wasn't as dramatic because you already really worked on people to earn the big power bonus back in the early days.
And just my last 2 cents here. I think we have to look at the compensation plan as just that. It's a compensation for people that are working this business. If you want to play games with it, I have a real problem with people that want to sit around and just sort of tweak it. It's for the workers. It's our pay.
Right.
And the people that are in it for any level of compensation, the prerequisite is that you're a user of these products, period.
Right.
That's what this company's all about. And if you just want to fiddle with the comp plan, then they're going to make it such where it's just for the workers.
Right.
And everyone at any level, it doesn't matter, you know, how much work is being done, there's money out there at any level of work, and that's what a compensation plan should be, and they're working on getting it that way, so I support them in the effort, as painful as it is in the transitions.
Right, exactly, Jeff. Me too. I mean, you know, they're pulling from me in the field, and, you know, if there's a way to work the comp plan, I could always come up with it. So, but I think the beauty of it is, you know, I still was running a business, but I was just taking advantage of what they had for us. And I think I totally agree with you. I love, and you're going to see it in the incentives. You're going to see it in this one, and you're going to see it even more so in the next one. We're trying to plug the loopholes where people are just playing games. You know, it's about, hey, you want to win the incentive, then let's go out and win it. Reactivation, I mean, there's still, those are easy things to do, people. It's just we got to get out, but you got to take action to make it happen, and it'll happen. All right, thanks all of you. Appreciate you guys. Love you all.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.